What we sow in this life, we reap in the world to come. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. What we weave in this world, we wear in the world to come. We wear in eternity. The great weight of eternity hangs on the thread of time. The weight of eternity hangs on that thread of time, that slender thread. So many passages in Scripture deal with how we use our time. And one is just as much a manager, a steward of time, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, as one is a steward of talent or of treasure. And I think sometimes this can easily get lost in our thinking. Because otherwise, thoughtful Christians will say, I know that I need to use my talents for God. I know that I need to use my treasures for God. But we don't think enough about how one of the greatest blessings God has given us is our time. Look in your Bibles at Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. In a number of ways, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 is the New Testament version of what we studied this morning from Psalm 90, the Psalm of Moses. When he talks about seeing to it that we number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Let me break down the structure of Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, verse by verse. Verse 15. Verse 15 deals with what we might call life principles. Life principles. Look carefully, the translation that Ryder read in the scripture reading says. Look carefully. The idea has to do with this is an urgent matter. This is an important matter. Look carefully how you walk. That's a key word throughout Ephesians. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14, it has to do especially with walking in light. L-I-G-H-T. When you look at the beginning of the chapter in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it has to do with walking in love. So Christians need to pay careful attention, see the urgency and importance of walking in the light and walking in the love of God. This, again, is something that's to be done carefully, thoughtfully, as a matter of priority. Now look, if you would, at verse 16. If verse 15 deals with life principles and how we need to look carefully how we walk, verse 16 deals with limited time. Our time's limited. The whole idea is that we should make the best use of our time. Buying up the time. And mark the word time. There's two basic Greek words for time in the New Testament. And the word that we often think about with time is chronos. It has to do with minutes and hours and days and years. Chronology. But the word here is another word. And it is a word that carries with it the idea of buy up the opportunity when it arises. You know, in one sense, you can't buy time. You can't buy minutes and days, though a lot of people would love to. But we can buy opportunities and pray for opportunities. And notice what verse 16 goes on to say. It says, because the days are evil. Don't be unwise, but wise, verse 15. Because the days are evil. Verse 16. You might jot down Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Because after he talks about having the whole armor of God and wearing it properly, so that you may do all that you can to stand in the evil day. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 is about the Lord's purposes, life principles, limited time. We have limited time. Therefore, make the most of the opportunities that you have to draw closer to God. And then you've got this idea in verse 17 of the Lord's purposes. Do not be foolish in your understanding. And if you notice, all three verses contain a negative. Something to be aware of. Don't be foolish. And this is kind of a restatement and expansion of verse 15. But understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for men to be saved, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The will of God is for our sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. The will of God is that His will be done, Matthew 6 and verse 10. The will of God is that we seek to please Him. These are just a few of the occasions when that expression, will of God, is referred to in the New Testament. Don't be foolish in your understanding. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So let's continue our study of making every day count that we began this morning. And Lord willing, we will conclude next Sunday morning. What I'd like for us to do is to look at two more principles or ways for making every day count, for making the most of every opportunity that presents itself for us on a daily basis. Principle number one, or suggestion number one. Exercise godly discipline. Exercise godly discipline. Turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. 1 Timothy 4 verses 6 and 7. Paul is instructing Timothy. And he says, if you put the brethren in mind of these things, you will be a good minister, nourished up in the words of faith and the good doctrine whereunto you've attained. He goes on to say in verse 7, exercise or discipline yourself to godliness. How that physical exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable in all things. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Mark it. Discipline yourself unto godliness. It's very similar to what Paul wrote about himself. I buffet my body, the King James says. I discipline my body, bring it under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself should be regarded as a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. The idea of personal discipline and exercising ourselves to godliness. Now think about that. It's not exercising ourselves to spiritual pride, it's exercising ourselves to godliness. We are to pursue godliness. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. Because we love God and have a relationship with Him that will take us through this life and into eternity. as a guy that's not quite as young as he used to be and probably has more behind him than he has ahead of him as far as the road, the pain of discipline and godliness is to be preferred over the pain of regret and sin. Get it down. The pain of discipline unto godliness is to be greatly preferred over the pain of regret and sin. You know, some people have a book of regret that is larger than War and Peace, that 1,000-page tome written years ago. The pain that might come through godly discipline is to be greatly preferred over the pain that comes from regret due to sin. Think of Hebrews 11, especially verses 25 and 26 that talk about the passing pleasures of sin, the pleasures of sin for a season. How do you do it? How do you do it over time? How did someone like Paul exercise godly discipline? How could Jesus say, I always do the things that are pleasing to my Father, John 8:29? How could he ask, which one of you convict me of sin, John 8:46? And no one could say, I not remember this time. Now that's true of us. But no one could honestly say that about Jesus. And no one could question that the Apostle Paul had exercised himself, disciplined his body to be more like the Lord that he loved. Is the same true of us? Same chapter, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15 says, that your profiting, that your growth, that your spiritual development be apparent to all. To all. But I want to go back to that question. How is it that some people just have the resolve to keep on disciplining themselves to greater godliness? And it's a good West Texas word I'm about to use, and for movie buffs, you'll probably know what I'm referring to. The word that helps me really appreciate what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7, in exercising ourselves to godliness is grit. G-R-I-T. What'd you just say, Big Jeff? True grit. Grit is sanctified determination from a biblical perspective. Sanctified determination. It is this resolve and this determination that whatever it takes, I want to speak more like Jesus, think more like Jesus, and act more like Jesus, because I want my love for Jesus to grow. Whatever it takes. Sanctified determination. It seems to me that the people who want to be godly with that type of motivation are people that see each and every day as a gift to become more like the Lord. Principle number two, suggestion number two. If you would make every day count, look for relationships that replenish. If you would make every day count, look for relationships that replenish you.
Look for relationships that fill your cup. Now, of course, it's the Lord that makes our cup overflow, Psalm 23. And He is the one to whom we must look the most. But it's amazing to me how many of us have friends. But if you were to ask, how many really close friends do you have? The number diminishes tremendously. We have a lot of acquaintances. We may have a number of people we call our friends. Especially in the church, and I've remarked recently in the series about shepherds, that loneliness can be something that accompanies leadership. Spiritual leadership. Therefore, God's wisdom in there being a plurality of shepherds to share and to work with one another. Preaching, you are around people constantly. It's part of ministry, and I appreciate that so much, but preaching the gospel can be very lonely. The need for relationships that replenish. All of us need those. Let me talk about relationships for the bulk of our remaining time together. And maybe offer some thoughtful, helpful, practical counsel. Every person will be around various types of people in their lifetime. And you will want to have relationships that replenish you, because not every individual around will replenish you, will fill your cup. People that replenish us, VIPs, very important people in our lives. The Lord, our spouse, a marriage should replenish us. Our family, we find encouragement and our souls are replenished. We smile, we enjoy life together. How about a congregation? Westside, as a congregation, should replenish us. And we help fill others' cup too, as part of the congregation. Very important people. But here's a second relationship that we need to think about. Very resourceful people. There's VIPs, and then there's VRPs, very resourceful people. There will be people that come into our life at very big times in our life, very crucial points in our life. And maybe we didn't know them that well before, and we haven't had a whole lot to do with them through the years, but they came and were very resourceful people that helped us. They filled our cups, so to speak, when we were starting to run dry. Surely somebody goes through your mind, if you've lived very long at all on the face of this earth. Very resourceful people. And maybe it was just their outlook on life. It was their faith in God. It was their sense of sanctified determination and grit spiritually that helped you so much. So there are very important people who we look to replenish us, and we seek to replenish. They're very resourceful people, people that have gifts and talents that seem to really bless our lives at a crucial time. And sometimes we are that person helping another, maybe not even being aware of it. Then there is what I call VTPs. Very teachable people. Very trainable people. And they are a lot of fun to be around because they're sponges. Young James over here said prayer tonight. I can ask James to do something. He'll put a smile on his face and he'll say, "Yes, sir, I'll be glad to do that. I appreciate that." Very trainable. Very teachable. He wants to learn and grow. And he just represents a number of young people here at Westside that have a similar spirit. And I appreciate that, don't you? Very trainable, very teachable people. They're willing to learn. And ultimately, the more they learn and the better they're taught, the more they'll be like the Lord. Luke 6 and verse 40, everyone that is fully taught will be like his teacher. All right. Who do you know that's very trainable and very teachable? Fill their cup and they'll fill yours. Think of Paul and his relationship with Timothy. Paul would say of Timothy, "I have no man like-minded who's able to minister to your state." Philippians 2, 19 through 24. You think that Paul got something out of that relationship? You think Timothy felt that he did too? You better believe it. The last two groups are groups to be aware of, people groups, but they don't have the replenishing effect. But you still work with them because you're a Christian, because you belong to Jesus. One group are VNPs. VNPs. Very needy people. Very needy people. And it's true that a person needs replenishment from their loved ones, the important people in their lives. It's true that we need replenishment from people who are resourceful, who help us at various points in our lives. It is true that trainable, teachable people fill our cups. But very needy people are people who are always vocal but rarely committed. They're always vocal but they're rarely committed. For example, the rich young ruler was vocal but was not committed because something got in his way, his love of money. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Demas forsook Paul, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, because he loved the present world. Vocal, maybe, and seemed to be on the same page for a while, but he needed something more than his soul being replenished. I think of the rich young ruler and I think of Demas and I think of two men that could have grown a great soul, but neither one of them were rich toward God. Luke 12, 15 through 21. Think about it. And sometimes in the church there are people, one need after another, after another, after another, and the church tirelessly ministers and tries to encourage. But their commitment never seems to change. We might want to rethink some of that because we need to be helping people whose souls can be replenished. I'm not suggesting never help anyone that's in need. And some people are quite needy. Please do not misunderstand. But there comes a time when commitment needs to measure up, because what people need the most is a commitment to God Almighty and to the Lord.
And this last people group, when you want to be a Christian, when you truly want to be a person who belongs to the Lord and you want to replenish others, you need to understand that there are VDPs. VDPs. Very draining people. There are people, I don't know how they do it, but being around them, they are able to suck the life right out of you. You know what I'm talking about? They are able to suck the life right out of you. They're ticks or mosquitoes, I guess. Spiritually speaking. Just so draining. And while it's true that all of us go through things in our lives that may cause brethren and friends to have to reach out to us and fill our cup, this is perpetual with the draining people. We all need people who will replenish us. Ultimately, we look to God, who richly supplies our every need according to His riches and glory in Christ, Philippians 4:19. But we do look to others to help us along the way. And I want to ask you as we close, what type of person are you? Am I the type of person consistently and regularly, with rare exception, that seeks to fill up others and to replenish others in the Lord? To strengthen another's hand in the Lord. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. To encourage others. Do I give others a spiritual transfusion of good things? Typically. That is the type of person we should think about being every day to make every day count. And then when we are the person that's really in need and hurting, we'll find ourselves tremendously blessed. Thank you for listening. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. Make every day count. Redeem the time. Buy up the opportunities. Make the most of them. The days are evil. If there's someone here tonight that's not a Christian, it's time to put on Jesus. It's time to have your sins washed away. It's time to be forgiven and to identify with the Son of God who loves you so much to become a Christian. Through faith, repentance, and baptism, you can come to Christ. And for those who are Christians, just think about this. Pursue the discipline of godliness and be a person that fills the spiritual cups of others. Let us stand and sing.